And others, because they have cares, they think they're the one. They have so much care. And pleasures, oh, I'm the one, I have all the pleasures. What I'm saying is that we can only operate based on what we're given. We can only receive what we are able to receive. We can only speak what we are able to believe. I can only teach what I'm convinced is true. Well, let's say we have some cynical preacher, right? And you say, well, they don't believe. They're just doing it cynically. But they do believe in something. They believe that this is just a bunch of bunk. And they believe that they're clever. And they believe that they can use Christianity to become wealthy or to, you know, pull the wool over people's eyes. I was thinking of people like Robert Tilton. Like, we don't see through that guy. And not that he can't be saved, but look at him. What does he think? We're all just dumb? And many follow after him. Because if you're audacious enough, people will. That's a good example. It's like, what do they preach? Prosperity. That by the gospel you can have riches. When we involve ourselves deeply with the cares of this life, just the regular mundane stuff of life, will never bring forth fruit to perfection. Oh, you might bring, you know, the fruit comes up and it starts out green and it gets yellow, but then it gets choked off. Never comes fully ripe. Never fully ripe. It brings no fruit to perfection. It means it doesn't finish any fruit off. Because fruit unfinished is not worth anything to God. He wants good fruit. Not bitter, sour, unfinished fruit. And that's what happens. It's like, well, I was trying to do the work of God, but my favorite TV show was on, and you know, I had a dream about doing a Bible study. I had a dream about doing this, that, or the other for God. I wanted to do this for God, but I just got so caught up with work and the family and this and that and the other, and I just didn't bring forth that fruit to perfection. I didn't finish the work. Do you see the absolute failure in that? See, what happens is they could receive the word too. They're just like the stony ground. The word's there, it grows up, it starts shooting off branches. All of a sudden there's little bits of fruit. Oh, look at fruits coming out. I want to do something for God. My riches. Let's go on vacation. We'll take care of that God thing next time. Let's just have a nice vacation. I want to do something for the poor. I want to go work at the hospital, actually. Oh, but my grandchildren are here. Why don't I play with them instead? You know, they have an idea of doing something for God. They want to receive, something like of the gospel that, do good. I should do good. I should do good things. I should do righteous things. They have this idea that I should follow after and seek after the kingdom of God and His righteousness, but they never bring forth the fruit to perfection. Because the cares of this life, pleasure, riches, enter in and they choke off that work. And verse the good ground. They have an honest and good heart. How does one get an honest and good heart? Is God just looking and saying, okay, whoever can come up with the most honest and good heart, I'm picking you guys, because I think you guys are great. You guys are really worthy of my kingdom. It's not a question of our worthiness, because we're all unworthy. It's a question of a heart prepared. A heart that is the right kind of heart. You can have a good and honest heart, as Paul thought he had, but be on the path. You know, there can be a lot of good soil on the path, but the problem is people keep walking over it. And nothing can grow. Nothing can get through that hard surface. And whatever is sown there, the birds steal away. But good ground is that which has been prepared by God. Ground prepared for seed. And that is in this the ultimate as well, that God is the one who prepares the soil. God prepares the soil. By what? By its very nature. Notice these things are all by nature. And it doesn't have to be a permanent status. Like I said, it's just whatever their nature happens to be at the time when the seed comes. Rocks can be moved. Gardens can be weeded. Paths can be torn up. Go somewhere else with your feet. But God prepares the soil. I mean, the man has to be prepared by God in their heart to receive God's word. As Jesus said, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables. You know, to one kind of soil it is given to receive and bring forth fruit. To the other kinds of soils you can't bring forth fruit that way. Fruit will not come forth from those other kinds of soils. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and pleasures. You cannot serve God and have a big rock in your heart. And these other three, they might all be combined into one. The negative side of it. The point is just the status of the heart from a particular perspective. It doesn't matter. It's the ways in which men reject God's word. And it's because of the way their hearts are prepared. I like when he says, bring forth fruit with patience. We've got to run the race with patience and despise not the long-suffering and patience of God either. We run patiently, waiting for the fruit to come forth to perfection, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of the Word of God, the fruit of receiving the gospel and regurgitating the gospel. That's the fruit. The gospel coming into us, affecting us, changing our lives, and we then going forward, preaching the gospel, affecting and changing the lives of others. We are patient in that work. I know patience. From the time I began to seriously seek God. I mean, I was a believer. I was never an unbeliever, ever, in my life. There was a time when I did not believe. There were times when I acted in unbelief, and I acted, you know, Jesus chastised Peter and James and John and the other apostles for their unbelief at times. But they were believers. But how can you have a believer who's an unbeliever? See, that's the thing. We have to eliminate unbelief. We have to be believing only. I don't want to be someone who believes one day and doesn't believe the next. The one who has faith one day and doubts the next. But I tell you, God is merciful and long-suffering with us. I tell you what, I waited for 13 years from the time I began to seriously seek God when I was about 19. I began to seriously seek Him. I asked for the Holy Spirit at times. Nothing happened. I was wrestling with all these problems and with the carnality and drugs and alcohol. And for 13 years of depression and servitude regarding those things, you know, I had happiness in my life, but those things really dragged me down. I wasn't satisfied with the way my life was going. It wasn't part of the way I wanted to be as a person. I didn't want to be a drunk. I didn't want to be a pot smoker. I didn't want to be, all these other sinful and pleasure-seeking things that I saw in myself that needed to be eliminated. And I didn't think they matched up with Christ. But on the other hand, I didn't know